to the From the Couch podcast. I am your tall, dark, and mysterious host, Peter Rogers, on a couch champions with the handsome Will Gibbons and the soon-to-be doctor, John Sanderson.
The less handsome
soon-to-be doctor, John Sanderson. What is up? Oh boy.
Just hanging out.
That's the best way to be. We have a relatively, well, maybe it's not action jam-packed, but we have what we would like to think would be an entertaining show planned for you all. We're going to start with a little reminiscing about the Celtics and Warriors game, which went into double overtime, and sadly, the Celtics were unable to beat the then undefeated Warriors, but we'll take credit for them losing to the Bucks, since we wore them out in arguably their toughest game that the Warriors had to play. We'll talk about that, as well as maybe a little bit about how much I remember I dislike watching LeBron James play basketball against my team. But mainly, today we'll basically, to celebrate the new Star Wars, The Force Awakens, coming out this Friday, we thought we would cast Boston sports athletes in the roles of Star Wars in our own edition called Star Wars, The Sports Awakens. But let's first take a look back to last Friday, where the Boston Celtics played host to the then undefeated and reigning champs Golden State Warriors. And while, you know, maybe some Warriors fans, had they lost that game, would have pointed to the missing Klay Thompson as the reason, we also had our excuse of a missing Marcus Smart. But ultimately, the game in double overtime was decided in a Warriors victory. And so, Will Gibbons, share with me what you liked from that game, what was encouraging maybe, as well as, other than the loss itself, what was a little upsetting.
What I liked or was encouraged by was several things. Great help defense, especially on the best shooter of all time. Avery Bradley is an all-star in the association these days. It's great when his shot goes in, especially when it's not going in for other people, but you pay him for his perimeter defense. And even though Curry had like 38 points,
it was arguably his most difficult 38 points.
Right, and like 16 points came on from the foul line, and 12 of those were bogus.
Yep.
But like, I was really, to me, that's like the most impressive Avery Bradley performance. I mean, he,
in the first quarter,
was smart and against Curry, and he had a lot of like tough shots Curry had to take.
Curry had a lot of tough shots, and in the first quarter, Avery Bradley was out-currying Curry.
He was shooting lights out.
I mean, Avery Bradley just somehow decided to start that game as the best three-point shooter on the court, while having the arguably the greatest three-point shooter of all time on the court. And Bradley just started off with a bang, and I personally, when watching that first quarter, was just like, holy shit, like, this is, if this can be at all sustainable by Bradley, like, we have arguably a better defensive, worse offensive Klay Thompson on our hands. But in games after that, we've seen that maybe it's not as sustainable, and that wasn't as sustainable throughout that game. But that first quarter had me all kinds of excited for Avery Bradley.
Can I add my second like or sign of encouragement?
Of course.
the guy we probably bash the most on this podcast, Jared Sullinger, defensively was excellent in the second half and overtimes. Some key blocks, but just like some help D, he was attentive.
He was. And he got in the way and got rebounds. Before I give myself a big hearty pat on the back, let's include Mr. Sanderson in this conversation. John, what did you see that was encouraging and enjoyable from this Boston Celtics showdown?
I guess on a broader scale, it was good to see them show up for a game that was hyped.
Mm.
You know, because a team like this often, where they're sort of on the upswing, they might play really well, but when the spotlight shines on them, they might wither a little bit. And I didn't see that. Although I did see it a little bit last night, maybe. But they showed up and they were truly confident, not just swaggering around confident. And yeah, it was great to see.
I would 100% agree with that.
They're a much better matchup against the Warriors than they are against the Cavs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the Spurs. The Spurs would actually
annihilate them.
But the Cavs are just a matchup nightmare for any team just because of the fact that LeBron is such a freak of nature physically, and because if he complains to the refs enough, he gets every single call in the book. Tommy Heinsohn was so wonderful last night. I had to stop watching at halftime just because I just was through watching LeBron James bitch and moan about every non-call and then acting like every time he gets touched, that's a foul. Anyways, I was tired of that, but I just thoroughly enjoyed Tommy basically spending the entire second quarter ripping LeBron James apart and having that on national television and having everyone else just be like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, right. That was such a great introduction to Tommy for non-Celtics.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Like Zach Lowe tweeted, he was like, fans who actually think Tommy Heinsohn gets every game, must be like, who is this
guy? Yeah, exactly. So that was wonderful. I've decided that Tommy Heinsohn also needs to start commentating Patriots games, because that would, I think, ease my... Because I found I couldn't get angry at the game, because anytime I'd get build up, be like, God, these refs, they suck. Tommy Heinsohn would lose his mind and just start screaming on national television about how bad these refs are and how much of a whining bitch LeBron was. And I was like, I can't even be mad. I can't get angry. Tommy Heinsohn's saying everything that he's angrier than I am on national television. I can't even. I'm just yeah, good job. Because I think one of the things that I've learned that peeves me the most is when we, you as a fan, feel like you've been wronged by the refs, by, play call, by, what have you. And then the commentators you feel like the commentators aren't giving you your due credit. Hence why Chris Collinsworth is just hated in New England.
Recently. I feel like this is a recent development. I used to like him.
I used to like him too. But that Texans game, man, it was it was just any time the Texans got a first down or a call went against the Patriots, he lit up. And I was just like, you son of a bitch. I watched the whole fourth quarter with the computer muted.
Plus in the Super Bowl, now that I think about it, when they're driving the last Patriots drive, and he's like, I asked Tom Brady, and he looked me right in the eye, and I don't know if I believe him.
Yeah.
And it was just like, why is that?
Why is that what you're talking about right now? But anywho's.
I think things out of our control, the refs in the Warriors game, the foul disparity was a little grotesque, I thought.
It was. But again, the problem is you're playing up against the two, the two most favorited all-stars in the league, and the two teams that are going to get the most, favoritism from the refs, and we just don't have any players that have that ability with the refs. But going way, way, way back to the Warriors, I'm going to give myself the heartiest pat on the back for saying that Kelly Olynyk will have a breakout season, because you can't say that we went into we would have forced them into double overtime without mentioning Kelly Olynyk's 28 points, I believe he scored off the bench. So well done, Peter Rogers, and well done the Peter Rogers doppelganger.
Yeah, our fans out there who don't know what Peter looks like, he looks like Kelly Olynyk.
If you look at him,
you know what Peter looks like.
Yes, yes. Kelly Olynyk has a little bit of a longer face than I do, since he's got, like, 10 inches on me. But yeah, we have a striking resemblance. But he had a hell of a game. And I'm hoping that will kind of permeate through the rest of the season, is that Kelly to me feels like one of these players where he's not consistently hot, but if you get him involved kind of early in the game, he starts getting his shot to fall, he can just take over a game offensively because of the fact he's so hard to cover, because he's 7 feet tall. I mean, there were times going to the basket in the Warriors, I mean, they would just kind of do a little lob pass to him and he drives to the basket, and you can't block a 7-footer who's moving to the basket, especially when the Warriors go small. I mean, Draymond Green, for as amazing an athlete and as great as a defender as he is, that's a height mismatch right there.
Right. Kelly's so good off the bench. He's so That's a great role for him.
It is. It's perfect. It's perfect. Yeah. But anyways, it was the message. The full message is the Warriors game was perfectly encouraging. I thought I agree with John in that the Celtics showed up to play. It was a great game. The Celtics had chances to win it. It went to double overtime. It was the best game the Warriors, the hardest win the Warriors had the entire season, and it exhausted
the Nets. Funnily enough,
that's true. That's true. They do have.
Or was that just single overtime?
I think that was just single, but I could be wrong. And it wore them out to the point where they lost to the Bucks the next night. So screw you, Bucks fans. You didn't actually beat the Warriors. We did. We helped out a lot. But the Cavs game was a little more kind of what I had expected the Warriors game to be. Just in the sense that the Celtics didn't really seem to have come to play. They couldn't hit their open shots. And then, of course, I was sick of LaBaby.
Take that.
Yeah, burn.
Yeah, nailed you.
I know. I'm sure of all of the things that I could have said, that cuts the deepest for the for LeBron James. Anywho's, we will start to cast Star Wars, The Sports Awakens. This is why I get paid the big bucks to be the host. Is because I come up with really bad sport puns for Star Wars titles while I'm actually on the clock for my real job. This is dedication to this podcast. You're welcome, fans from around the nation. So, anywho's,
what they want.
That's what I'm here for. We as a collective couch give the people what they want. We're a people-pleasing couch. That's how we market ourselves.
It sounds like a sexual euphemism.
Come to the people-pleasing couch. We will please you people. Anywho's. So yeah, we figured to appropriately celebrate what people are saying is a fantastic Star Wars movie. I've been very stingy on my internet searching, so as I don't spoil a single thing. But all the reviews, and by reviews I mean purely just the headlines that I've read, because I haven't actually read reviews because I don't trust the no spoilers. It's supposed to be pretty good. I'm excited. But anyways, to celebrate, we thought it would be fun to take the famous faces of Boston sports and cast them in the roles of Star Wars. I don't necessarily know exactly what's the best way to do this. Do we just cast the kind of main guys and figure out who we think would play them?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, sounds good. We'll start with what some consider the protagonists of the. We're obviously not including the prequels because those are just hot garbage, and we like to shun those from our memory. But we will start with the possible protagonist, albeit at times whiny, Luke Skywalker, who is. I don't know if endearing is the right word to describe him.
No, he's kind of annoying. He's a little bit like Harry Potter.
Yeah, or like Ross from Friends.
Or Ross.
Yeah.
I think that's what they call him, Ross of the Galaxy. That's sort of his...
It makes sense. And so...
Han Solo's always like, God, when is Luke going to quit being such a f***ing Ross? As soon as he walks out of the room.
Like, Ross hates ice cream and Friends. Like, what a weenie. Yeah. So Luke, that's how we feel is Luke.
So what Boston sports athlete do we feel best embodies these characteristics?
Right, having said that, he is a hero.
He is a hero. He does bring balance to the Force, to a certain extent.
This is an easy one, right? Are we all going to say the same thing?
I don't know. What are you going to say?
I was going to say Tom.
I had thought about this, but I was going to save Tom for Han Solo.
Oh, I like that.
I know.
Because I feel like Han Solo was kind of the, like, he was not necessarily the main character. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. But was cool, awesome, suave, good-looking, the ladies' man. And had a tall best friend named Rob Chewbacca. I know, I had to because I had to just make my awesome connection as to
I'm going to make my awesome connection on why I want Luke as Tom.
Go.
Okay, so we got Luke Skywalker as Tom Brady. Then we have his sister, Princess Leia, a.k.a. Julie Brady. And then we have Princess Leia falls in love with Kevin Euclid, a.k.a. Han Solo.
And who's Euclid's best friend? Who's Harry?
He himself
is kind of hairy.
I don't know, Johnny Damon.
That's what I was going to say, but I don't know if Johnny Damon deserves to be in Star Wars The Sports Awakens.
Malar could be Chewbacca. I don't know. Actually, you know, wonder who had the greatest command of the Force of any Boston athlete, though?
Who? Don't say. Let me guess. What sport?
Baseball.
Pedro?
Yeah.
Obviously.
So yeah. Maybe Pedro could be the Luke Skywalker.
I could see that. He's kind of an underdog. Luke's kind of an underdog. You know? Luke's just a kind of kid on Tatooine, and then he is thrust into glory. Pedro is thrust into glory. Yeah, I mean, Pedro does have... Maybe Pedro is more of a... I'm trying to think. Pedro could also be like a Yoda. A mystical kind of, like, his powers are so majestic and magical that there are rumors and stories about him.
I sort of like that because I feel like old Pedro would just be this, like, you know, smiley.
Kind of a goon.
Take it to him, I will.
Zen-like guy. Because I think, like, oh, if Brady is Luke, like, oh, then Belichick is Yoda. But no way.
Belichick, I hate to say it, Belichick is Emperor Palpatine. It's just
100%.
You can't cast him as anything else.
I like
Pedro Martinez as Yoda.
I don't hate Belichick as Yoda. I'm not gonna lie.
I sort of do. I don't think he's.
I think Yoda's good. There's so much goodness in Yoda. Like Belichick is slightly evil.
But he also is. He gets the most out of everybody with his weird mind tricks.
Palpatine does that. Palpatine got the shit ton out of Anakin. Anakin didn't have any arms or legs and was burning.
Wait.
And they built him into...
Stop. I know what you're
going to
say. Stop.
We're talking.
We're predating, prefacing
our podcast at dinner. I told Will that Anakin became Darth Vader. And it was a mind-blowing moment.
What? Gibbons, have you never seen the prequels?
Yeah,
No, I mean, I don't want to see the last. I've seen first part. I hate them. They're so bad. So stop. We're veering off. Here's the thing. Let's get back to the important stuff.
Okay.
Gronk is Chewy,
right? Right? Because he's your big best buddy, who's a super goon, friendly, but if you piss him off or if you wrong him, he can lay down.
You get thrown out the club.
Yeah, exactly. You get thrown the f*** out the club.
And there's the Chewy party bus, who everyone knows about.
Yep, obviously.
Chewy gets hype.
Chewy gets real hype, yeah.
It's perfect.
I think these cross sports things are interesting. I think hearing no other better suggestions, Pedro might be Yoda.
I think Pedro's Yoda is perfect. That works to me.
Are coaches like in our lifetime? What's Brad Stevens? He's got to fit.
Brad Stevens
is Luke. Brad Stevens.
No, because Luke is not necessarily like endearing. Brad Stevens has a strong understanding of the Force. He could be like.
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan is kind of like a nobody who comes in to train Luke in the ways of the Force. And, you know, he's kind of been forgotten. I guess Brad Stevens wasn't necessarily forgotten. He was pretty well known in Butler.
Just toiling away at like a mid-major.
Yeah. But then comes into the NBA and leads the Celtics, his Padawan, to greatness.
Yeah, maybe Stevens is Obi-Wan.
I like
Brady
that.
Brady is still no. Bray said Brady's Han Solo.
But Brady is Luke. I mean, I'm trying to think of who would be a better Luke. I understand John's point, though. I don't think Yuke. I mean, it works out beautifully, but I don't think Yuke is the best Han Solo.
He's a terrible Han Solo.
I think Brady's a better Han Solo. But who's a better? Who's a Luke then? Who's kind of a whiny preteen?
Wonder who, I hate to say it. Poppy. Poppy's whiny, but he's also been like the person that really delivered us the most important championship. But he's also really whiny.
Yeah. And he's not well.
You still root for him. He's still a hero.
He's still a hero.
Every once in a while you're like, just shut up.
No, I can see that. I can see that. And he also, like, I also feel like Luke is a lover-hate, maybe not lover-hate, but, like, a lover-indifferent kind of character. Like, he's someone where most fans are like, yeah, he's Luke, you know, he's cool. Like, they don't love him, and maybe some hate him. And I feel like Poppy's, like, no one hates Han Solo. I guess everyone hates Brady, though. But I like Poppy as Luke works. I like that. Does this mean...
Except Luke was white.
you know what? I don't think... Okay.
I think we can look past that for the purpose...
Just kidding. You know I'm the king of cross-racial comparisons.
I love when he's like, hey, is it just me or is Tyrod Taylor the next Geno Smith? Oh, not just because he's black.
No.
Now Teddy Bridgewater is Chad Pennington. So we're in the clear.
So we're in the clear. It's all good now. So then if David Ortiz is Luke and Han and Tom Brady is Han, who binds them together and thus is Leia?
Oh.
I'm very much at a loss.
Leia?
Yeah. I mean, what we could do, we could go totally off the... unbelievably off the record, or not off the record, just kind of off the out of the norm, and cast Gronk as Leia, since Poppy and Gronk have done those Dunkin' Donuts ads together, and Gronk is obviously Brady's babe, and then Julian Edelman with his big ass beard becomes Chewy as Brady's best friend.
Love you, man.
Get it, bro. I love you.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.
I see. Wait, we also have to do C-3PO and R2-D2.
See, I was originally gonna have Edelman and Danny Amendola there, but we need some Celtics in here.
So we were saying Tommy Heinsohn maybe as as C-3PO. John also said Remy and Ursula.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like Remy and Ursula as C-3PO and R2-D2. That's, can we then cast... I'm trying to think.
Oh, wait, I just came up with a great Anakin.
Go.
Doc Rivers.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Hands down. Yeah. Anakin, Doc Rivers is Anakin Skywalker. He starts off as kind of the protagonist and then very quickly goes to the dark side. Nope, I like that. I like that. And he does father Big Poppy in a way. Don't ask me how, but it could work. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're wildly misusing, and by misusing, I mean not at all including, Paul Pierce and KG.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they could have really big roles in Star Wars, and if I was really good, I'd be able to pull off some, like, super awesome connection for KG.
KG is Jar Jar Binks.
No!
No?
I love... God, I was going to say I love Jar Jar. Ugh, I love KG. I hate Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks is the absolute worst person on Earth. Here it is. Here it is. Well, KG talks a shit ton. I was going to say he's Darth Maul. But Darth Maul... Because Darth Maul doesn't talk, but... rocks at life. But KG talks a shit ton.
I don't know. I'm at a loss. I have to watch these old ones again.
I'm trying to think of an excellent comparison for KG. But anyways, maybe Paul Pierce is Lando.
Ooh,
he's best friends with Han and Chewie. Kind of turns his back on them a little bit, but you know, ultimately he'll end up a good guy. I could see Peasy as Lando. And Lando's clutch, you know, he saves them from Sky City. So that works to a certain extent.
Lando never really captured my heart though.
No, that's true. That's true. I'm trying to think of who. Oh, here it is. KG is the leader of a group and a team fighting for glory, and is most famous for his phrase, anything is possible. Much like a commander is famous for his phrase, it's a trap! KG is Admiral Akbar.
Ooh, that's a...
Digging deep.
I know. We're running out of the main guys. I have to reach obscure levels.
There has to be a Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, that is true. Jabba the Hutt is Big Baby.
Belichick, like, immediately after the 18-1 season was probably Jabba the Hutt.
No, it's Big Baby Davis.
It is probably Big Baby.
Or Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, how about Vince? Hanley Ramirez.
Vince is, except for the fact that Vince is lovable.
Yeah, no.
Jabba the Hutt is not lovable.
It's definitely Hanley.
It could be Hanley. I can do that.
Beckett.
Oh, God.
Hanley's the least liked Boston athlete right now, I think. Definitely. Actually, and he's also like 30 pounds overweight.
It's true. Cool. I'm trying to think if there's like anyone who we've super missed out on. Oh, well, Boba Fett is the hired gun who dies. So that's Jarrell Revis. Just hired him to win a Super Bowl and then he peaced out, which is fine because now Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan are better than Jarrell Revis is. So at least according to Pro Football Focus, they're more highly rated than Jarrell Revis is in coverage. So I'm cool with it. But yeah.
What does Pro Bounty Hunter Focus say about Boba Fett?
Pro Bounty Hunter says, gives him a rating of 10. They say, while he is a fantastic bounty hunter, he has...
Past his prime.
He's past... Well, not only past his prime, but seems to have poor control of his jetpack.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, and is unable to necessarily direct himself to go where he wants to. Is instead, his jetpack flies spontaneously and sends him into the pit of despair to be eaten forever. which is sad. It's a sad fate. I was always kind of upset with that fate because I felt it was not what Boba Fett directly deserved. But yeah, I think we have a pretty good movie here. I think Star Wars The Sports Awakens would be an entertaining film. I'd watch it.
I would watch it. And what do you eat when you watch a movie? Popcorn kind of guy?
Popcorn. Probably some beer. So probably beer and popcorn, like M&M's. I like M&M's in my popcorn. Uh-huh. Yeah, get that little salt and savory.
Yeah, I don't like. I'd rather go popcorn than even like I love Sour Patch Kids, but not during not during a movie.
Yeah, no, I get just like a giant tub of popcorn, drown that fucker in butter, and go at it.
Speaking of food, Sean Grandy just tweeted a picture of Cedric Maxwell, Max, during the radio. They're at the Pistons.
Uh-huh.
And Maxwell just he ordered some food during the game, like takeout, and got delivered to him. He's eating it while they're broadcasting.
That's awesome. As long as it's not Chipotle. Ayo!
Almond milk, bizarre.
Oh, interesting. Well, with that, we've let's do some kudos and pudos quickly, since we've more or less casted the arguably the greatest Star Wars film to come out since.
1979 or something.
Yeah, since the original. But start us off, Mr. Soon-to-be Dr. Sanderson.
For kudos and pudos.
Yeah, give it some pluses, kudos, maybe kudos, a minus, maybe a...
Oh, man. You really caught me off guard.
I got a kudos if no one else is
ready. All right, it's all you, Gibbons.
I'd like to give kudos to... the GOAT of women's soccer and one of the best athletes of our time, male or female, Abby Wambach. Last game night, and tip of the old cap for a great one. She was on Simmons today, and she gave a great interview. She's gonna be great in whatever she does. It's pretty classy, badass.
Yep. That is true. Well said. Well said, Gibbons. Well said.
All right.
Go ahead, Mr. Doctor, soon to be Dr. Sanderson.
I'm gonna give kudos to.
I like these.
A quartet.
Wow.
Of football, American football, professional football players.
Wow.
Who all happened to be on my fantasy team, and you all combined scored maybe 1 point, maybe 0 points this weekend. And that would be Desmond Bryant, Chris J. Anderson, I don't know what his real name is.
Chris,
Junior. Call him Chris.
What's Amari's full name?
Amari Cooper. Amarson. Oh, it's Cortrell Javon Anderson.
Cortrell Javon Anderson. That's a name.
Well, however you say it, the dude really just shat the bed. I don't think he even played, but he didn't tell me that. And then the last one would be the man with the wiener piercing, Sebastian Janikowski.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Guys, we are 1 week away from John versus Becca matchup in the SACO.
Which is
glorious.
Glorious. Becca honestly had like the best team in like week three or something.
I don't know how she fell so hard.
To all our listeners out there, if you think John should... So this could potentially be the second straight SACO last place year for John. If so, should he have to get a butt tattoo?
No. It was a tattoo of our choice that he can place whenever on his body.
I think that's the play.
That's the play. He can put it on his butt. He can put it on his butt if he wants.
Double or nothing. 2 years.
2 years. If you can't draft a good team 2 years in a row and you've lost, then you deserve a tattoo of whatever.
Yeah, but it's also probably kind of hard
to win
to lose two times.
Oh, I think it is. That's why it's an appropriate.
So I think I should be rewarded.
Oh, well, that is your reward. You get a sweet ass tattoo for free. Meanwhile, I would like to give kudos in that vein to Odell Beckham, whom I was behind Gibbons by 10 points or so, and he gave me 28. So, thank you, Odell.
We got one more week.
One more week before it's a little bit of the championships. So we will see. We'll keep you posted from there. We'll keep you posted as to how our fantasy league is going, since I know you are all sitting there riveted and hanging on the edge of your seats as to who will be matched up in the championships and who will be matched up in the dirty toilet bowl. But for this week, that is all we've got. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at FTC Podcast and like us on iTunes. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars if you're so excited to see Star Wars The Sports Awakening. 3 stars if you think it's going to be good but the originals were better. Or and 1 stars.
What if it's going straight to DVD?
And 1 stars if Jar Jar Binks is your favorite character and you want to watch it on DVD. As always, I am your host, Peter Rogers, from a glorious couch of champions where we please the people, with Will Gibbons, the handsome one, soon to be Dr. John Sanderson, the somewhat handsome one, and
I'm not complaining. It's just it's flattering.
I'm just trying to you know, butter you up, Gibbons.
Yeah, well, it was gonna be like soon to be doctor and. Not soon to be done.
And the butt-ass ugly one. I'm trying to... You're the only single one on this podcast. We got to start adding kind of a love appeal going on. So we got...
We got to pump your tires.
Well, yeah, exactly. We got to kind of, you know, build you up as a potential date.
I like that. If the Elitic Clinic, our one listener, knows females out there...
If you are interested, if you like the sound of Will Gibbons' voice, call now at 1-800... I would date Will Gibbons, maybe. That's 1-800. I would date Will Gibbons, maybe.
I would think about dating Will Gibbons, 1-800. Call now. And if you call in the next 5 minutes, you'll also get a signed copy of The Sports Awakens.
Wow. I might just call. I want a signed copy of The Sports Awakens.
Oh, it's going to go straight to voicemail if you call. I'm not picking up.
Stupid caller ID. Until next week, as always, stay comfy and do not leave that couch.